So starting on Chav Vav Amud Beis from the third line. Chav Vav Amud Beis, the third line. So Darash Rabba Barav Huna, Nolad Hu Umumo Imo. So if the Bechor is born together with its mom, so it has a mom as soon as it's born. So Mevakrin Oso Biyontif L'Chadchila. So then the Chacham is allowed to check out the mom, check out the Bechor, L'Chadchila. And we saw before that Rashi explains that since there's no Chezkas Iser, right, it was Mutter as soon as it was born, so since there's no Chezkas Iser, so it's not really considered being Metaking and fixing it by checking it out, so that's why it's Mutter, because Rabbi Shimon, the reason why Rabbi Shimon said it's Usser to check out the Bechor is because it's like being Metaking, fixing it, or it's like being Dan Din, judging a case, but that's only when there's a Chezkas Iser, and here, since at the time it was born, it already had the Mum, there's no Chezkas Iser, so it's not really like being Metaking or being Dan Din to check it out. So Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman said to him, "Abba Tani im Avaru Bikro Mavukar." So my father taught over that if the Chacham checked it out, so then that works b'di'eved. After he already checked it out, he finds it's a mum kavua. So then it's mutter b'di'eved. V'ad Amris Mevakrinos Olichadchila. And you're saying that it's mutter to check it out lichadchila. In other words, Rav Nachman argues and says that lichadchila you're not allowed to check it out, but if you did, then b'di'eved it would be mutter. So that line is going to be the topic for what we're going to look into a little bit more. But just to go through the sugya for the background. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Kvase the Rabba Barav Huna Mistabra. It makes sense to say, like, Rabba Barav Huna, who says that it's Mutr L'chadchila to check out the Bechor if it's born with a mom. Midikatani Tchasa Bave, from the fact that there are three cases listed in the Braisa that we saw last time that starts in the beginning at the end of the previous Amud, but the Gemara is going to repeat the Braisa, so we'll just see it now as it repeats it. Nolad bo mum me'erev yontif. So if the Bechor gets a mum from before yontif starts, so ein mevakrin oso biyontif. So then you're not allowed to check it out on yontif, and the Gemara is medayek lechadchila hu dero, lechadchila you're not allowed to check it out. Hadi'eved shapir dami. But if you did check it out, so then it would be mutter b'di'eved. So if it had the mum from before yontif, the way Rashi had explained it was that since the process of being matarid had already started when it got the mum from before yontif, the only thing we're still waiting on is the chacham to say that it's a mum kavua. So since the process already started, it's not really as much of a tikkun when the chacham paskins that it's okay. So even though lechadchila he's not allowed to check it on yontif if he did, so since it's not as much of a tikkun, so b'di'eved it would be mutter. And then the second case is Nolad bo mum bi yontif. If the mum happens on yontif, so then Rabbi Shimon Omer ein zemin amuchan, and the Gemara explains dafilu di'eved na'amilo, that it's aser even b'di'eved. So if the mum happens on yontif, so then the entire tikkun is taking place on yontif. So then if the chacham is matirid, it's still going to be aser even b'di'eved. And the Hadar Tani, and then the third category listed in the Braisa, is Vishavin Shim Nolad Hu Umumo Imo Shazemin Hamuchan. That if it's born together with its mum, so then it's mutter. So the Gemara explains that Filu Chadchila Nami. In other words, the Gemara broke it down, the Braisa broke it down into three different categories. One category, when it was born on Erev Yontif, when the mum happened on Erev Yontif, so then we said that L'chadchila, you're not allowed to check it out, but b'di'eved, if you did, it's mutter. Then it had a case, the category of where the mum happened on yontif. So we say that that then if the chacham checks it, it's no good even b'di'eved. And then we have a third category. So the third category presumably is going to tell us a third din, because if it's just going to have the same halacha as one of the previous two categories, it should have been lumped together with whichever category it's going to have the same halacha as. So if it says that when the bechor is born together with its mum on yontif, so it's mutter, so presumably that means that it's mutter lechadchila. So this braisa, so the fact that it's broken into three categories, supports Rabbi Barav Huna, who claimed that it's mutter lechadchila.
Which day of yontif are we talking about here?
I'm assuming the first, but wait, so you want to suggest that there would be a chiluk? So what would that
I
be?
I don't know. Is it different than Be'ah?
I was assuming that it was on the first day of yontif, but I'm not sure. It could be that it's also even if it was on the second day of yontif. Because I think the same would be true even if it was Shabbos. I thought before we might have used interchangeably Shabbos and yontif. I'm trying to remember where.
Yeah, Rashi.
Where was that? I mean, I feel like we did. I think I remember that also. I'm just having trouble finding it right now. But if it does say Shabbos, so then it would certainly apply to the first day of Yom Tov also. I assume it's even the first day of Yom Tov, and so too the second. That would be my assumption, but I can't prove it. Fine. So the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, who says that it's mutter to check out the mum lechatchila, has this brisa which supports him from the fact that it's broken down into three categories. So the Gemara asks, "V'haki asa Rabbi?" Yeah. Okay. So we're just going through the sugya, but we're going to come back for in general what we're going to be discussing is going to be the case of where the Bechor was born together with its mum on Yontif, and we say that Rav Nachman says that the Chacham is not allowed to check it out with Harchila, but if he does check it out with Harchila, so if he does check it out, which he shouldn't have done, so then it's going to be Mutter B'diavad. So that's going to be the topic of what we're going to discuss for most of tonight. Fine, so we had brought, there was a machokes between Rabbi Bar Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna says that when Noad Hu Mumo Imo, it's mutter to check it out with Harchila. Rav Nachman had argued that it's only mutter B'diavad. You're not allowed to check it out with Harchila, but B'diavad, if you did, it would be mutter. And then Abaye brought a braisa to support Rabbi Bar Rav Huna that it would be mutter even with Harchila. Fine, so then the Gemara says, the first word on the line is De'afilu. It's maybe like a quarter of the way down. The Gemara says, "V'haki asa Rav Hoshaya asa va'aisi masnisa biyadei." When Rav Hoshaya came, he brought a brisa with him, and the brisa says, "Bein shenogad bo mum me erev yontif uvein shenogad bo mum bi yontif." Whether the mum happens on erev yontif or happens on yontif, Chachamim omrim ein zeh min amuchan. The Chachamim say that it's aser b'di'eved. So now, from the fact that we lumped together those two categories of when the mum happened on Erev Yontif or it happened on Yontif, and we say it's aser b'di'eved, the implication is that in the third category, the more lenient case, where it was born together with the mum, it would be more lenient than those two cases, which are aser b'di'eved, and therefore it would be mutter, but only b'di'eved, because this braisa doesn't break it down into three categories. So here we seemingly have a braisa, which supports Rav Nachman, that it's only mutter b'di'eved. So the Gemara asks, "V'elakashahach," but then we have a question, the previous braisa, which supported Rabbi Bar Rav Huna and suggested that it's mutter even lechatchila. So the Gemara answers, "Hahi ada bar ukmihi the mishabish v'tani." So that braisa is ada bar ukmi, who makes mistakes when he teaches over braisas. In other words, the correct braisa. So the correct braisa is that it would be mutter b'di'eved, as Rav Nachman said. And then the Gemara brings a support for that. Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Masnisa Nami Deika. The Mishnah also supports that. Tekatani Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol She'ein Mumo Nikar Me'erav Yontif Ein Zeh Min Amuchan. That if the mum is not recognizable from Erev Yontif, so then it's going to be Aser. My Ein Mumo Nikar. What does it mean that it's not recognizable from Erev Yontif? Ilei Mash Ein Mumo Nikar Chav. If it's that it doesn't have a mum at all, Pshita Tzricha Lameimar. Of course, it's going to be Aser. It's going to be Aser because the mum didn't exist on Erev Yontif, so presumably you'd have a problem of muktzah. So either muktzah or a problem of the fact that it's a complete tikkun because the process didn't even start on Erev Yontif. So then for sure it would be aser. It must be just that it wasn't shown to the chacham. And what does it say? The halacha is katani mias ein zemin amuchan. It says that it's aser b'di'eved shmamina, that in those two cases, the case where the mum happens on Erev Yontif or on Yontif, it's going to be aser b'di'eved, leaving the third case, the most lenient case, where it's born together with the mum, to be only more lenient than aser b'di'eved, and therefore it would be mutter b'di'eved, but still aser l'chatchila. So the bottom line of the sugya is that the braisa, there are two braisos which support Rav Nachman, who says that that the chacham is not, that in a case where the bechor is born together with the mum, the chacham is not allowed to check it out lechatchila, but if he did check it out, which he shouldn't have done, so then it's going to be mutter b'di'eved. And that's the conclusion of the Gemara, that there are two braises which support that sheet of Rav Nachman.
If we apply that just been said to the last year, this is implying that when it's born on Yom Tov with the mum, when a bechor is born with the mum on Yom Tov, it's not b'cheskat yisur. It's, as we were discussing, it's a cheskat, at the worst case scenario, questionable, and just waiting for some a chacham to just rule that it is permissible or not. But it's not born into it's not into an automatic chesed iser if there is a mum, even if we don't know if it's a mum over or mum kavua.
Right, the Gemara, that's true. The Gemara yet hasn't established the case, in the Gemara at least, as talking about Yasvi Dayanei Hasam, that the Dayanim are sitting there, and they see as it comes out, and they can tell right away that it's a Mum Kavua. So Rashi had sort of given us that preview, that when we talk about Nogad Hu Mumo Imo, and Rashi had given us that preview within the opinion that it's Mutter Lecharchila.
Right.
So within the opinion that it's Mutter Lecharchila, he had told us that it's where the Dayanim are sitting there. And he says that since the Dayanim are sitting there, it was Mutter right away, and there's no Cheskas Esser. So what you're extending that to, is it the opinion who says that it's Mutter B'dieved?
No, I'm saying for Lecharchila. For the other opinions we learned last week that said that not necessarily were the Dayanim there, it would still be Lecharchila because it's never in a Cheskas Esser. That's what I'm trying to.
That's true from
from here.
Right. So I agree with that from what we've seen so far. I haven't properly learned through the Hemshech of the Gemara, but I have cheated a little bit and looked ahead. And the Gemara is going to set up the cases where the Dayanim were sitting there. The Gemara is going to do that because of the discussion of Muktzeh L'Chatzi Shabbos or not, which is what we were, you know, the topic from last time. But yeah, from the Gemara that we have so far, it sounds like you don't have the Dayanim sitting there, and nonetheless it would be Mutter, and that would be then as you're explaining, because there's no Cheskas Esser. The Gemara is going to later say that for a different reason you have the Dayanim sitting there, and then I guess the question becomes, is that only in Okimta to address that different reason, or once we have that Okimta to address that different reason, then we have to, you know, understand that, well, that's the case here, and that's why there's no problem of Cheskas Esser. So I guess that could be up for grabs, but I don't know properly in depth the Hemshech of the Gemara. But I guess we'll see when the Gemara sets it up. Is the Yasvi Dayanei Hasam, how far do we have to take that back in the Sugya? Fine. So the Gemara. Yeah.
Put aside the mum issue. If an animal is born on Shabbos or Yontif, you can't normally do anything with that. Isn't that animal mortal? So we're still relying on the fact that this is Rabbi Yehuda, whoever, that doesn't believe in Mutzah.
Shimon.
Well, I mean, if it's an animal on Yontif.
If an animal is born on Yontif, can you eat that animal? First day of Yontif?
We kicked that around last week.
Yes.
Right, so I thought
you
yes.
Can. Because you could chef the mother. So it was ready through the mother.
Right.
Well, yeah, sorry. I'm sorry. Right. I shouldn't have raised it because you're right. We did talk about it.
Right. Although, if we were saying before, we were wondering.
You're allowed to raise it.
And it's also, if we were correct before in saying they were using Yontif and Shabbos interchangeably.
Then we're good.
Okay, fine. So.
I thought maybe if it was the first day of Yontif, would you be. Second day of Yontif.
If an animal is born on Shabbos. Can you chef the animal on Shabbos?
No.
Okay.
Right.
You can't chef any animal on Shabbos.
Right, well, there's an issue to chef it on Shabbos.
But then, for someone who's sick.
Right.
Unless it's for someone who's sick.
Well, it doesn't matter. If it's pure nefesh, you don't worry about that.
That's right. It's not an issue.
Right. Unless you have a case, I mean, just to create weird cases, but unless you have a case of someone who was sick, and then they got better, so it wasn't mukta at the beginning of Shabbos, because this we saw someone quoted a case like this. I'm trying to remember who it was. They were sick at the beginning of Yontif, so it wasn't mukta. It was mutter d'shechter pikuach nefesh, or the beginning of Shabbos. So there was mutter d'shechter pikuach nefesh, and then as Shabbos progressed, they got better, and then the animal was shechted then, so it shouldn't have been shechted then. But once the person got better, so then the question was, does mukta take effect right then and there? And do we say yesh mukta l'chatzi Shabbos and it'll remain mukta for the rest of Shabbos? So in theory, if we wanted to come up with a case where you only have an issue mukta, we might be able to. But you're right, that would be a weird case.
halachas of muksa were that you have to be muksa at the onset of Shabbos, does it not?
Right, so the regular principle, migo disgatzayla ben ashmashos, exactly, has to be the onset of Shabbos, and then there's going to be a question beyond that, which again, I've been cheating and looking a little bit ahead,
right.
That the Gemara is going to wonder whether or not we would apply a similar principle of migo disgatzay if it became muksa for a period of time on Shabbos.
Right.
And it wasn't muktzah at the onset of Shabbos, but then it became muktzah for a little bit of time on Shabbos, and then it became no longer muktzah, like it became usable. And then the question is, do we apply some type of migo diskatzoi in that case, called yesh muktzah lechatzi Shabbos?
Okay.
So that we're going to see, but that's correct. That's not the standard migo diskatzoi, and I'm pretty sure that we paskin ein muktzah lechatzi Shabbos, I think. But I guess that'll probably be the topic of next week, so that's fine. So again, the way the Gemara concludes here is based on the two braises that support Rav Nachman, that lechatchila, you're not allowed to check out the Bechor in the case where it's born together with the mum, but b'diavad if you did, so it would be mutter. So the Pnei Yehoshua asks a question on that, and he says, basically, that that's going to make sense for Rashi's general understanding of the Mishnah that we saw in Amud Aleph, but it's not going to make so much sense for Tosis's understanding of the Mishnah in Amud Aleph. So the Pnei Yehoshua writes, first source here, so, Bigamara Amari Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman said to, who was it? Rabbi Barav Huna, Abba Tanim Avaru Bikram Avukar. My father taught over that L'chadchila, he's not allowed to check it out, but if he violated that Isser and he checked it out, so then it would be Mutter B'diyavad. V'kashali L'perish HaTosus V'Mishnah Seinu. So it's difficult for the Tosfos on the Mishnah. D'nitama D'ein Roen Mumin D'have Kimitakein Lo Shayech L'Esser B'diyavad. Tosfos had told us that it doesn't make sense to say that just because of the Isser of Metakein, we would Asr the animal B'dievet. Right? Rabbi Shimon said you're not allowed to check out the Mum on Yontif, and the question was, why? So Rashi said because of Metakein B'dandin. And Tosus had understood that Rashi meant to Asr even B'dievet. We would, you know, discuss whether or not that seemed like what Rashi really meant to say. But either way, Tosus takes for granted that it's Asr even B'dievet. Even if it was checked out, it's Asr B'dievet. And Tosus says it doesn't make sense to Asr B'dievet because of the Isr of being Metakein. So Tosus explains, the Pnei Yehoshua says, Elahad the Osir Rabbi Shimon, this the Rabbi Shimon Asr in the Mishnah, Hainu Mishum Muktza Isr Iyas Mumin. It's because, since there's an Isser, according to Rabbi Shimon, to be Roa Mumin, and that Isser L'Chadchila to be Roa Mumin is because of Metakein, it's Metakein, that's why it's Isser L'Chadchila, so therefore Tosva says, now Rabbi Shimon holds that it's Mukta. Now it's true, in general Rabbi Shimon is lenient when it comes to Mukta, but over here, even Rabbi Shimon agrees that it would be Mukta, because since you're not allowed to be Metakein, to look at it to be Metakein, so therefore it becomes Isser B'dievet because of Mukta. Kedemashim Perakira. And if so, if that's Tosis' approach to understanding Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, then Metakein can only Asr L'Chadchila, and it's Asr B'dievet because of Mukta, Heichi Mishkachas L'Avar Rabbi Shimon, D'Noad Hu Umumo Imo, Davka Im Avar Ubikro Mevukar, Avar L'Chadchila Rav. So how then could Rabbi Shimon have a case where it's going to be Asr to check it out L'Chadchila, but it's going to be Mutter B'dievet? Like this case, the Gemara is claiming that Noad Hu Umumo Imo, if it's born together with a mum, so Rav Nachman and the Gemara's conclusion is that it's usher to check it out with Lechadchila, but it's mutter b'dieved. So according to Tosis, how do you have such a case? Demi manevshach, no matter how you look at it. Iro in mumin b'yantif b'chiyei gavna d'noad hu mumo imo d'lo havi ki metakein. If you're going to say that when it's born together with its mum, so that's not considered to be metakein, as you would say, because there's no cheskas iser, so it's not considered to be metakein. So then, imkein lechadchila amayro. If it's not metakein, why can't I check it out lechadchila? What's wrong with that? And if you're going to say that, well, this is also considered to be metakein, even though it's born with a mum, and therefore I'm not allowed to check it out lechadchila, imkein b'di'evet amay mevukar. So how come b'di'evet it's mutter? If it's also lechadchila to check it out, so then it should be mukta because of that iser. So how can you have a case where it's Asr L'Chadchila and Mutter B'dieved? If it's not Metakein, it should be Mutter L'Chadchila. If it is Metakein, that should make it Mukta, it should be Asr even B'dieved. And the Pnei Yehoshua adds, V'kosha kein d'mitam Mukta greida roshaya b'charik ben L'Chadchila l'dieved. There's no such thing as Mukta L'Chadchila, not B'dieved. So if we're going to forget about Metakein, and we're going to say there's no such thing here, it's not a problem of Metakein, if we're going to argue that there's no problem here of Metakein because it was born together with its mum. So it certainly doesn't make sense to say, well, it's Mukta L'Chadchila and it's not Mukta B'dieved. There's no such thing like that. If it's Mukta, you can't move it, even B'dieved. So, v'tzarech iyun liyashiv rishitas ha-tosvos. So, therefore, the Pnei Yehoshua leaves it as a question. How are we going to understand Tosvos Ashita? It doesn't make sense to say that it's asur lechatchila mutter b'di'eved, because if it's asur lechatchila, because it's considered to be metakein, that should make it muktza, and it should be asur even b'di'eved. And then the Pnei Yehoshua goes on to explain why the Gemara does make sense according to Rashi. Avavapirish Rashi asi shapir. Within Rashi it makes sense. The b'di'eved mavuka, that b'di'eved it's mutter. Because Rashi doesn't consider this to be metakin gomor. I'm not completely fixing it. Because it wasn't a cheskas iser, because it was born together with its mum, and therefore there's no cheskas iser. He says the Gemara is going to conclude later that it's still a problem of mechzi kimetakin. It looks like I'm fixing. So according to Rashi, I'm not allowed to. The Chacham is not allowed to look at it lecharchila because of mechzi kimetakin. It looks like fixing, but it's going to be mutter b'di'eved because it's not really fixing. Because again, within Rashi's understanding in the Mishnah, metakin alone is sufficient to asur b'di'eved.
This is almost like Marasayin.
So it could be like Marasayin. I know they have a discussion when it comes to Hilchos Ribbis. I've never really learned it properly, so I'm just vague in what I'm going to say now, because I don't really get it. But when it comes to Ribbis, they have all sorts of different categories. There's Ribbis Doraisa, where you say, you know, I'm lending you $5 and you have to pay me back $6, and it's stipulated from the very beginning. And then there are a number of expressions that Rashi uses. You have Ribbis Dirabbanan, and you have Mechzik Ribbis and stuff like that. And I think when people learn Parakei Zeunesh, after learning about Ribbis, they have discussions what exactly Mechzik Ribbis is. Does it mean that, you know, other people... It seems like it's ribbis. Other people will think that you're doing real ribbis, or is it some like mild form of ribbis, which is called mechzi karibbis? Like there's also an expression mechzi kashikra. It appears like it's false. If you have like a document with something with, so does that mean that other people are going to misinterpret and it's going to, you know, like it's going to be a Marasayin issue, or does it mean that it's since it has that appearance somehow that's like a psul derabanan? So it could be that we would apply that same discussion that they have there over here, but I don't know what the conclusions are there. I don't know what they are here, but it could be that it's a Marasayin question. The other possibility is that it's just a way of saying that it's a psul derabanan, it's an iser derabanan because it resembles being metakein. I guess those are the two options, but I don't know. Fine. The Gemara is going to say later on the next Amud, Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, that checking out a Bechor is not like checking out an animal to see if it's a Treifa. A Bechor has to be checked out while it's still alive. You can't check the Bechor and then afterwards show the Chacham the Mum and say, is this Mum a Mum Kavua? And if it is, think that it's Mutter. It has to be checked out while it's still alive.
Why would you think any different? No, I'm just trying to understand his point here.
Right, yeah. I guess we're running with the assumption that it remains usur until the Chacham's matir it.
Right.
But it sounds like where do we know that? First, I think we saw it together in a Mishnah Brura who was explaining the difference between, right? But it seems like this is the line in the Gemara which says that.
Okay.
That it's not like a treifa, the riyas b'chor mechayim, that it's not mutter until it's actually checked out. U'treifa l'achar shlita. You can check the chicken and then ask a chacham afterwards if it's kosher, if it's a treifa. U'afi zeh asi shapir nami hada ka'amar abaye k'vasei d'rabba b'reid rav huna mistabra. So now the Pnei Yehoshua says that Abaye, who had argued on Rav Nachman was the one who we're dealing with now, who said that it's mutter b'di'eved. Right, and Abaye had come and said, "No, I'm going to bring a brisa which supports the opinion that it's mutter lecharchila." So it makes sense that Abaye thinks it's mutter lecharchila. Behind him, mishum da'azel l'shitasel lekaman. That's because Abaye follows his logic that he's going to tell us later on. The reis lehachsvara der ias bechor mechayim. Abaye holds that you don't have to check out the bechor while it's still alive. He actually holds you can wait till the bechor dies or is shechted properly, and then have the chacham come and check it out. So. He Abaye says later that a machokas, we're going to see a machokas tanoim, I think it was Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda, who says that the bechor has to be checked out while it's still alive. You can't sheft it first. So Abaye understands the reason why you can't sheft it first is not because there's an inherent problem, but just because it's a knas. You know, we insist that it be checked out first to ensure it's a mum kavu. And if you shefted it first and, you know, did what you shouldn't do, so then there's a knas. But there's no inherent rule that it has to be checked out first. Abaye was going to say later that you have the dayanim sitting there as the animal is born. Mishum Hachi Rowan Lechatchila to go mechzikim attacking Shol Yatsa Mechazkas Heter Klal. So Abaye, who argues in our Gemara that it's going to be Mutter Lechatchila, the reason why he says that it's going to be Mutter Lechatchila is, well, first of all, if the Dayanim are sitting there, there's never a Chazkas Isser, so it's not like attacking in any way. And also he holds that it's not like attacking because the necessity for the Chacham to see, to check out the Bechor, according to Abaye, doesn't inherently have to be done while the Bechor is still alive, and therefore it's really no different than just checking out an animal to see if the animal is a trefa. So you're not really like fixing the animal any more so than checking out a chicken to see if it's a trefa. It's not like inherently it was usher until the chacham is matir it. It just needs the psak of the chacham, like a trefa, needs a psak to determine if it's mutter or usher. So that's why Abaye, who says that it's not a problem of mechzikim attacking, says that it's mutter lechatchila. But the bottom line, what I want to take out from the Pnei Yehoshua, is the Pnei Yehoshua says, I understand Rashi. Rashi, who holds that Metakein has the ability to aser even b'di'eved, makes sense. Because over here, when it's born together with the mum, so it's not going to be Metakein gomer. Because since it's born together with the mum, so it never had a cheskas iser. Since it never had a cheskas iser, it's not Metakein gomer, and therefore it's not going to be aser b'di'eved. But it's still going to be mechzikim attacking, because it looks like you're fixing it, and therefore it's going to be asr lechatchila. So the Pnei Yehoshua says, I understand Rashi. But the Pnei Yehoshua asks, I don't understand Tosis, because Tosis says that metakein cannot asr the bechor b'di'eved. So how in the Mishnah did Rabbi Shimon asr b'di'eved? He said that once it's asr lechatchila, because of metakein, it becomes asr b'di'eved automatically because of muktzah. Once it's asr lechatchila, just make the jump. It's asr b'di'eved. If it's asr lechatchila, it's asr b'di'eved because of muktzah. Right? Once you can't do it, so it's muktzah. There's nothing to discuss. So according to Tosas, who automatically makes that jump between lechatchila and b'di'eved because of muktzah, how could our Gemara conclude, like Rav Nachman, that if no one who mumo imo, it's asr lechatchila because of metakein, but it's mutter b'di'eved? It should be asr b'di'eved because of muktzah. That's the Pnei Yehoshua's question. So I thought at first glance that this is a very troubling question because it seems to be against an explicit Gemara. The Gemara says here in Source 2, we're going to have it later in Beitza. So the Gemara says, Tevel Muchan Hu Eitzel Shabbos, right? So you haven't yet taken the Trumos and Maestros from the fruits. So the fruits are still Tevel. So we say that it's not considered to be Muktzah. Why is it not Muktzah? Shim Avar V'tikno Mesukan. If you go ahead and you take Trumos and Maestros on Shabbos, which you're not allowed to do, because that would be like fixing the Peros, right? So you're not allowed to do that. But if you did it, so it would be Mutter. So it's almost like an exact parallel. You're not allowed to, something has a halachic Isser. The Tevel is halachically Asser. There's an Isser to go ahead and then fix it by making it mutter. Just like the Bechor. The Bechor is Aser, and there's an Isser to go ahead and check it out to see if it has a Mum Kavua, because that would be like fixing it. And what do we say by Tevel? We say by Tevel that it's considered to be Muchon, it's not considered to be Muksa, because since if you violated the Isser, it would be no longer Mukta, it would be Metukon. So too, it would make sense to say that by a Bechor, if I violate the Isser, it'll be mutter. Meaning, why should there be a difference? I don't understand the Pnei Yehoshua's question. The Pnei Yehoshua says, if it's asr lechatchila because you're not allowed to be attacking, so then it's automatically asr b'di'eved because of muktzah. No, it should be no different from tevel, where it's asr, it's muktzah now, it's asr to be attacking, but it's not really muktzah because since if I...
One derives and one derabana?
Ah, so that's going to be one of the answers. Good. Ahead of the game. Good. Yeah. So why is tevel derabanan? So I assume that we're going to see that that's one of the answers. And my answer... What?
Tevel is an Issur
D'Oraisa. So why here is it an Issur D'Rabbanan? Bechor is also an Issur D'Oraisa, right? Bechor is for sure an Issur D'Oraisa. So I was thinking either Chutz La'aretz is one possibility, or I think Rashi holds that only grain, wine, and oil is chayiv in Trumos U'Maestros Min HaTorah. So maybe we're talking here about other fruits. All
right.
So if you say like that, then it's clear why Tevel is D'Rabbanan. Bechor, and I guess we could get into this more later when we see that... that Philic written explicitly, but by Tevel, so there are two things that are Dirabanan going on. There's the Tevel, which is Dirabanan, if you assume we're in Chutz La'aretz, or it's not Dagan Tirosh V'Yitzar, it's not wine, grain, or oil. So both the Tevel itself is Asr Midirabanan, and the prohibition to fix it is Midirabanan, that it looks like it's being Metakin, right? By the Bechor is Aser Min HaTorah, before it has a Mum Kavua, or before it's decided that it has a Mum Kavua.
You're talking about today, right? You're not talking about during times of the Beis Mikdash.
Talking about today. Yeah. today, but it still would be aser. I assume a bechor b'zman hazeh is still aser min haTorah.
I'm talking truma.
Oh, truma. Yeah. So, well, truma in Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh
is
derabbanan because we're not, fully inhabiting Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
True. So yeah. So not only that's why
it wasn't even held during the times of Israel. There was no truma. It's only times of second base makers.
Because you have to have bias kulchem, I think, right? Because you have to have the entire, meaning you have to have the majority of the Jewish people inhabiting Eretz Yisrael, and I think it's even beyond that.
Rambam says it wasn't held.
Okay, that makes sense, because I think you need to have the majority of the Jewish people in Israel, and I think even more than that, not only do you need the majority of the people in Israel, but I think you also need them inhabiting their original, the land that was divided up amongst the Shvatim.
You know, and, yeah. 12 tribes.
Yeah. And they have to be living in their proper places, right. So by Bechor, the Bechor is Aser Min HaTorah, but it's only an Aser Derabbanan to be Metaken the Bechor. So when we say that the chiluk between Tevel and Bechor is Doraisa Derabbanan, so what we have to assume then that means is that Tevel, the Isser itself is Derabbanan, and therefore it's not Muksa because you can fix it, whereas by Bechor, the Isser itself is Doraisa, and therefore it's going to be Muksa even if you could fix it, even though the only thing that's stopping me from fixing it is a Din Derabbanan, that it looks like I'm being Metaken. So I think if we're going to use that chiluk of Doraisa Derabbanan, so then we have to say that it depends on what the Etzem HaIsser is, rather than, meaning, what's the status of the Bechor? The Bechor, until it's been declared a Baal Mum, is Aser Midaraisa, even though it's just an Isser Derabbanan to check it out and to fix it. Fine.
What do you say, they're both Doraisa, and there's other chiluk maybe?
Okay, so yeah, I think we're gonna see someone who says that, so what would be another chiluk?
Well, the way the Tikkun is being done. In the for the Bechor, there's no change in reality when you do the Tikkun. It's the same animal with the same womb as it was before. So this is a Tikkun, whereas with the table you do it's a Tikkun be a dying. You actually take something out and you move it out, and you make an actual physical change in the.
Can't you just say it, that this is this and this on Shabbos, and get stuck? Can't you do that?
Yeah, you can. You can just say it, right? You can. You say it's truma should be in the north side,
right,
and
right.
It's.
That's
I think you can.
That's the way you do it, right? That's
right. Yeah, but I guess Dr. Sam could also argue that's considered biadayim, meaning it's just verbal, but it's more active than just saying whether or not it's mutter or aser. You're actually causing a halachic change.
You're making also a change in the thing itself.
Right.
Before it was all one big thing. Now this is truma and aser.
Can you say the same thing with the bechor in terms of the womb? Now it's aser. It's a bechor. Now it's not a bechor, so to speak.
Right. I guess along the lines of what we were saying with that Mishnah Brura, that you're actively creating a change. I could hear you could argue that both ways, meaning by Tevel, you're definitely actively creating a change. By Bechor, there are two ways to view it if you're actively creating a change.
I was thinking sort of the exact opposite of what Gerard was saying.
Okay.
Is because since you're able to metaken without doing anything, the fact that you did something is irrelevant. So in other words, in the case of Tevel, you could have been permitted to eat the food without physically doing it.
Okay,
which is not the case of Bechor. Bechor, you need someone to actually metaken it to make it permissible to you. Here, just your thought of saying, the truma will be in this location and I will eat the balance. And
it's less active. So you're both making a chiluk, the opposite chilukim, but using it to answer the question.
What do you do with the Bechor? What's he really doing?
But until the Chacham...
He looks at it and he says, oh.
But till then it's not permissible.
Well, same thing.
The metaken here is not necessary. You could have done it in your mind and have it and be able to eat it. You didn't need the metaken to eat it. It was an unnecessary act. The physical act was not necessary whatsoever.
Can you do it in your mind?
Well,
you
you're still doing
you
something.
Can say, I'm designating
you're
this part.
You're still doing something.
But you're changing the status.
I think you do that being a shmash, no? Can you do it? Can you do it on Shabbos itself?
So it could argue that
I think
separating your mind is still metaken.
If you're assuming you have, I think we'll see that it might depend on whether you have nothing else to eat for Shabbos. But even if you are not allowed to do it, it would still take effect. Meaning, let's say you're not allowed to separate Trumos and Maisos on Shabbos, and you're also not allowed to do it, verbally, you know, saying the north side will be Truma. Right. So even if you're not allowed to, but if you did, then it would take effect. I think we're going to see a less Lumdish version of what you're suggesting in the Rush, which we're going to get to at the end, but we'll just skip right now just for a second. He says a chiluk here. It's the last two lines here on the source sheet. Kedamrinan on Shabbos, in parentheses there, Shabbos. Tevel muchanu eitzel Shabbos. Shem avar v'tikno mesukan. L'fisha kol adam yachol l'takno. Anyone who wants to can fix it. V'rodami rebechor ba'amom. Afal pisha nikar bo mibod yom. L'fisha ein hataraso ela ayidei chacham. Umi yeimar demisrimi. Meaning it's dependent on the chacham coming to be attacking it. But I think the explanation that you're giving is a more Lumdish version than what the Rush is saying, because I think the Rush, you could say that that's Pshat in the Rush. The way I understood the Rush was just that when we talk about Muktzah, like how likely is it that you'll be able to use it? So it depends whether you could do it on your own or you need someone else to help you out. But I hear how you can make this look, but I'm just thinking. The way
so that I'm saying, with the Rush.
What?
I mean, this is what we discussed right. 2 weeks ago.
Right, about how likely is it that something will become mutter, gamro bidei adam, you know, and stuff like that. Wait, one second, Dr. Sam, just remind me. The chiluk that you're making is that the truma requires biadayim.
It requires a physical
joke when you said Dr. Sam. He can call you Sam.
Well, I don't mind. Why not?
No, you can call me Dr. Sam. Thank you. I went to medical school all those years. Exactly. My children, my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. You're making a physical change in the truma, in the tevel.
Okay.
There's no physical. You don't make any change in that animal.
Right. Right. You're not, and that would depend on how you understand that, you know, Mishnah Berurah's idea that the chacham is, you know, really doing something significant by declaring that it's mutter, that it was usher until he declared it was mutter, and then he declares that it's mutter. So even though we are saying he's doing something significant, so you're arguing that it's still less than Trumos and Maestros, where you're really changing the status. I guess we have to figure out if there can be different degrees of changing a status. That's what we have to figure out.
And then the question is, if you are doing more, why would that be mutter for the Yevit? Right, so that's because you're saying that's
what. Oh, right. Meaning that would be a chiluk, but that could almost be a kal vachomer to the question. Meaning, if it requires doing more by truma, right? So then, why is it that by truma that's where we find that it's mutter b'di'eved? I hear you could argue that should strengthen the question with a kal vachomer.
Yeah,
fine. There's a lot of food for thought.
Okay. But aren't you possibly changing the status even of the before? Because until the chacham determines that it's mutter, isn't it usser?
Right. So I think that, yeah, that's what you're saying. I think that what Dr. Sam is saying is that there are different degrees of changing the status, which does make sense. Again, we have to see if it's true or not. But the reason why it logically makes sense is because by Truma and Maser, no one argues that you're changing the status. It's crystal clear, you're changing the status. Right. Before it was Tevel and Truma and Maser. By Bechor, so the Pnei Yoshua quoted with the Gemara that we're going to see later on, that there's a machlokes as to whether or not, again, the Gemara there, just to take a step back, the Gemara there is talking about a case where you didn't have the Chacham check it out while it was still alive. And then after you shechted it properly, then you bring the Chacham to check it out, and now you want to know if it's mutter. The Chacham says it's a mum kavua, is it mutter now? So there's an opinion that says, I think it was Rabbi Meir, who says that it's aser. And there's a machlokes as to why Rabbi Meir says that it's, I think it was Rabbi Meir, there's a machlokes as to why Rabbi Meir says that it's aser. Is it because you have to check it out while it's alive? And that's because checking it out is what changes its status, and it's very significant that it has that status change. Or do you say that the reason why it's aser is because since we want you to check it out while it's still alive, there's a knas and a penalty, because you didn't check it out while it's still alive, there's a penalty. But it's unanimous. You're changing the status. By Bechor, it seems like it's up for debate. So apparently, it's not so clear you're changing the status. So then perhaps one can argue that even the opinion that you are changing the status, it doesn't quite reach the level of changing the status of Trumos and Maestros. But we would have to explain what the exact Hagdara, you know, of those differences are. Yeah.
Do you have this more simply? one case, you are definitely changing the status. In the other, you're just confirming the status.
So within the opinion that it's just a knas, so then, yeah, then you're confirming the status. What about the opinion that says that you have to check it out inherently during its lifetime?
That's, yeah, okay. Clearly that's why...
Right.
That one's different.
Yeah, okay. So...
I mean, that's essentially how you see it. Do you see it as changing the status by the whoever is inspecting it?
No.
Or is it just confirming the status? And so... Yeah. But that could influence the different...
Right, it will, but... The reason why I think it's still, why we still need to create different degrees of changing the status is because the Pnei Yehoshua
I'm agreeing with that. Yeah. All I'm saying is you're essentially saying that... I'm not explaining this well.
No, I'm just not understanding it well.
Change of degrees, it could be really the same as change in status. Okay. Like some people could say that having the expert come and
tipping
look at
the balance.
Moon is just a degree of change, and some people could say it's an actual change. Or some people could say it's not a change at all; it's just a confirmation.
Okay. That's Rashi versus.
So if there's three possibilities there, yeah.
And that's where we got the
right. Yeah. So I think that's So I think that's correct, and I think that. That's saying that there are three steps. I mean, I think that's logically correct. I mean, I think you could logically argue that there are those three steps, and then you could use that to answer and differentiate.
Why you've got the three braces? Or three approaches.
So I'm not positive I understood that. So far. No, it's my fault. If I understood that, so then I think that's a logical possibility, and if it's correct, we could use that to differentiate between this case and the case of Tevel. It's just then we would have to figure out whether that differentiation helps the question or helps the answer. That could be up for debate, but fine. Okay, so again, the question, I just need to summarize to get back into it for myself. The Pnei Yehoshua's question was that, according to Tosfos, that once it's usher to check it out with Chachila, it becomes usher b'diyeved because of Mukta. So how is he going to understand the Gemara's conclusion to follow Rav Nachman's opinion that it's usher with Chachila, but it's mutter b'diyeved? It should be usher b'diyeved because of Mukta. We asked, what do you mean? How is this different from Tevel, where we say that it's usher to fix it lecharchila, but it's not considered muksa because if you did fix it, it would be mutter b'diavad. So why should it be different than Tevel? So we were talking about two possibilities: either a chiluk between d'araisa and d'rabbanon, that Tevel is d'rabbanon, or the Tevel that's under discussion here is d'rabbanon, and therefore it's not muksa because you could fix it, whereas the b'chor is usher mid'araisa. And that's why it's going to remain usur even after you fixed it. And we pointed out that even though the act of fixing it is only an issur d'rabbanan, since it inherently, the bechor, is an issur d'oraisa, so it would remain muktza. And the other possibility is to be mechalek between tevel and bechor in terms of the degree of the status change or how easy it is for the individual to make the change themselves. So those two answers, which we were discussing, we're gonna see in the continuation. Yeah. So Tosfos in Shabbos, this Gemara that says Tevel is really not Mukta because if you fix it, it's gonna be Mutter. So that's a Gemara both in Beitza and Shabbos. I put the Gemara here from Beitza because we're learning Beitza, so why not? But the Tosfos is in Masechah Shabbos. So Tosfos says Tevel Muchan Hu Eitzel Shabbos. So Tosfos says, "Afal pisha also gataltalo." So the first thing he tells us is, when we say that tevel is muchan, that it's not mukta, we don't actually mean that. It's still also to move. It actually is mukta. So what do we mean? So afal pisha also gataltalo kidatnan miparak mefanin mikol makom ulchashiv mevatal kli mehechono. It's not considered. Let's say I have tevel and I want to put the tevel into a kli. So normally there's an issur of being mevatel kli meichano. I have a kli that I can use, and I put it somewhere in a way that I'm not going to be able to use it for the rest of Shabbos. That's a problem. So because I'm taking a kli which was usable and I'm making it no longer usable, that's called the problem of mevatel kli meichano. So if it, when it comes to putting tevel inside a kli, so it's not considered to be a problem of atel kli meichano kevan dim ava v'tikno masukan, because since b'di'evet, if I were to separate chumos and ma'isos, it would become mutter. So therefore, it's not really considered like I'm assering the kli that I put the tevel into. But that's just with regard to that halacha. In fact, tevel cannot be moved on Shabbos. It is mukta, you know, before you fix it. So that just clarifies what the Gemara means when it says tevel muchan waits al Shabbos. But that's not really going to help us in answering our question on the Pnei Yoshua, because at the end of the day, the Gemara says that if you violated the Isser and separated Chumos and Maestros, so then the tevel is going to become mutter. And what that means is that at that stage, after you fixed it, then it's really mutter. Then you can even carry it around. Tosis just means to say, as tevel, you can carry it around, and don't say that it's mutter now because it would be mutter if I fixed it. No, so long as I haven't yet fixed it, it's usher to move it around. But once I fixed it, then it would be mutter. So that doesn't help us for answering the question on the Pnei Yoshua, because the Pnei Yoshua takes for granted that by a bechor, even after I would fix it, it would still remain mukta because it was mukta before. So it doesn't help us for our question about Bechor. It's just a clarification of the Gemara that when we say that Tevel's Muchan, it doesn't mean that it's Muchan right now. It only means that there's no problem with Atel Ki Meichano. Fine. So then Tosa says, Kasher Rashba, Jisnan Maseches Chumos, Viparek Beis, Umaisi Rabani Zakin, Hama'aser B'Shabbos. If a person takes Maisos on Shabbos, B'Shogig Yochal, if he does it by accident, so then he's allowed to eat it. If he intentionally took maestros, even though he knew he wasn't allowed to, so b'diavad it's aser. When we say the tevel is muchan, because im avar v'tikno, that wording of im avar, if he violated and fixed it, mashma b'mezid, that implies that he did this intentionally, knowing that what he was doing was wrong. It doesn't say if he mistakenly fixed it; it says if he intentionally, knowingly, willingly fixed it. So how come the Gemara says that im avar v'tikno masukan, that if you fix the tevel, if you take the chumos u'maestros, it becomes mutter, even though you knew that you were violating the Isser of taking Chumos and Maestros? Don't we assume that if you did it b'meizid, that it's going to be Aser? So Tosas answers, in a case where a person has nothing else to eat, no other fruits to eat for Shabbos, Yontif, tafilu b'mezid yochal. So even if it was done intentionally, b'mezid, if he has nothing else to eat, so then it would still be mutter. So that's why it says, im avar v'tikno, it becomes mutter. So is that going to help us for our case of Bechor? Again, the Pnei Yoshua said that if it's Aser l'chatchila, it's going to remain Aser even b'di'evet. So perhaps you can say that that's talking about a case where he did it b'mezid, and he has other food to eat. Meaning, our whole question was, how come the Pnei Yoshua says that if it's Aser l'chatchila to check it out, because of Metakein, the Pnei Yoshua says it's automatically Aser b'di'evet. We asked, what do you mean? The Gemara says, im avar v'tikno mesukan. So now we see, well, sometimes it depends if you do something b'shogig or b'mezid. That if you do it b'mezid, it's going to remain Aser. And the only reason why the Gemara by Tevel said that even though you did it b'mezid, it's going to be mutter, that's because he has nothing else to eat. So then in theory, we could defend the Pnei Yoshua by saying that we're talking about a case where it was done b'mezid, which does seem to be the case, im avaru bikro, he violated an Isser and checked it out, and we could say it's talking about a case where he did have other food to eat, right? And it makes sense to assume he did have other food to eat. I mean, what was he planning on eating on Yontif? I mean, it's a possibility, right? So,
it makes sense he did it b'mezid. How are you talking about Chor B'Shogir?
You don't know that it's Usr. Maybe I don't know there's an Isser of Metakein to be Metakein before. Before I opened Beit Zedaf Chavav,
I didn't know that.
Right, that's another possibility, right? Right, so we could have possibilities.
I don't know Chandra.
We could have possibilities, yeah. So I thought in theory that, look at the time. I didn't realize that. Wow, that's good. When you lose track of time because you're learning, that's a good thing. So that in theory could be a possible answer. I thought that was difficult. I thought that was difficult for a number of reasons. What were my reasons here? I wrote on the side. First of all, it sounds like the Pnei Yoshua thinks that it should be Aser B'di'evet because of Mukta, not because of a Knas. Presumably, the idea that if I violated the Isser and separated Trumos and Maizos b'mezid, it's Usser, and Meshogeg it's not, presumably means that it's Usser b'mezid because of a Knas. So that probably is not going to help us out for the Pnei Yoshua. There were other reasons also why I thought it was Dachuk in the Pnei Yoshua, but just because we have like 2 minutes left, I just want to get to the answers that we have inside here. So let's just skip to source 4, the Prima Gadim. So the Prima Gadim says, V'yeshli k'tzas kush yahad parach b'kira memvav amin beiz amay mefer. And how can you nullify nedarim on Shabbos? Ha'is k'tzoy ben hashmashos. The object of my neder was aser when Shabbos started. Meha mukta machmas iser rav mukta. So he's asking a question. The Gemara has a question. The Gemara says that you can be mefer nedarim, or at least in the discussion, it suggests the possibility that you can nullify nedarim on Shabbos. I don't know what the conclusion of the Gemara there is. We have to check it up. But at least in the discussion, it says you can nullify the neder. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? It was mukta when Shabbos started. Asks the Prima Gadim, so what if it was mukta when Shabbos started? It's going, you know, if you're made for the nether, it'll become mutter, because when you have something that's mukta because of an isser, let's say you have an isser, you're not allowed to be made for a nether on Shabbos, let's say. So what? If I were to violate that isser, then it would become mutter. So just like tevel becomes mutter if I violated the isser, so too the object of my nether should become mutter. So he basically gives two answers, just for the sake of time, I'm skipping a line. He says towards the end of the second line here, Ranios daiti tebel iser derabanan. Mishumhachi will have a mukta, masha einkein iser Torah. So it depends if it's an iser deraisa or an iser derabanan. An iser derabanan, we would say, tebel muchan uh al shabbos shim avar v'tikna masukan. But if it's an iser deraisa, like a neder, which is something which is usher, if I say it, I'm taking a neder, I'm not gonna, you know, eat something, it's usher midaraisa. So then we wouldn't say, well, I could violate an iser of nullifying my neder on Shabbos and then making him mutter. And then he gives a second possibility. Masha einkein raposkim dafilu iser Torah kol she'ein yisuro begufo rak machmas davar afer. If the iser is external, not inherent, lo havin mukta l'kula Shabbos. In other words, by tevel, so we're saying you're allowed to fix it because the iser is not inherent in the fruits. The iser is viewed as being more external. Why is the iser by tevel more external? Presumably because the iser here, again, there are two yisurim. There's the iser of tevel per se, and then there's the iser of fixing it. So here, in theory, I could eat it if I were allowed to fix it, but there's an external iser which is preventing me from fixing it. And then just the last look, which is we saw in the rush at the bottom here, that last two lines in the rush, that the chiluk is that tevel is something which anyone who wants to can be metakein, and presumably that means the person had in mind that he would be able to fix it, so his das was on it, and that's not comparable to a bechor where you need a chacham who says he's going to come across a chacham. So I'm not going to go through it now because we're out of time, but just interesting, the rush here in source 5 goes through 4 different categories of mukta and basically explains them. It wasn't needed for this year to include it on the source sheet, but I just did because it's like a great summary of the different categories of mukta, just in short.